Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm getting an update from Tier 1 Silver, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol TSLV, and on the OTCQB under the symbol TSLVF. I am chatting again with the President and CEO, Peter Dembicki, as well as the Senior Vice President of Exploration, Christian Rios. Following up first and foremost on a news release that came out just yesterday, January 30th, an update on the Curibaya project. Now, just to catch everybody up to speed, Tier 1 Silver focused in Peru, focused on silver and gold exploration. Company holds a number of projects, some of which we're still waiting on news to come back from. But Curibaya, that's where the focus is going to be in the near term because a approximately 5,000-meter drill program is starting up in Q2 of this year. Now, the news from yesterday outlines new porphyry copper targets at this project. Two new porphyry targets have been identified. Peter, bring us up to speed of the work that led to these two porphyry targets, please.
Thank you, Corey. Yeah, so, you know, when we completed our first drill program, end of 2021, you know, we sent down a couple of consultants to go, you know, walk the land with Christian, with their technical teams. And what they came back with was more direction on where to go with the silver. We go to this Curibaya zone that our new drill permit encompasses. It allows us to have that extra few hundred meters of elevation where that preserved precious metal system lies. Arsenic high in the system, which is indicative of precious metal system lying below. So we know that's going to be our focus for our next upcoming drill program. But as they mentioned, and as we went back and retested some of our old longer and deeper drill holes, there were some indications that we could have a porphyry target here. And so we went out over the last few months and started a CSAMT geophysical study that really allows us to get a better understanding of the porphyry targets and how we're going to possibly test them. So it appears to be almost a cluster or a couple of different targets to go after, but really exciting to be able to test those this year and really get a feel if this is the real deal. So at the time right now, you know, these are targets and we want nothing more than to send some holes down there and really hit it.
So Christian, figure three outlines the size of these targets, at least a long strike here, and they are touching each other pretty much. Can you just break down the size for everybody who's not looking at that figure, and also how deep these targets are, how deep you think you'll need to drill to test them?
Yeah, sure, Corey. Yeah, it's very important because having these results in the CSAMT, and this target has 500 meters by 500 meters approximately each. So that's very interesting because these targets are below the lithocap, below the skarn mineralization, copper bismuth anomalies, Hohlfels also alteration. Skarn mineralization and Hohlfels mean high temperature in the area that is being occurred by a source. So having these anomalies with very good size below that mineralization alteration is very important for us. And also these results, we know that in the area, having 6 kilometers of epithermal structures, we need to have a source for sure. But having these two areas, these conductors with these pipe geometries, and also we need to consider that the age dating of the alteration in the area corresponds to the Paleocene age, which is an important age for all the giants there, Toquepala, Cuajone, Yabeco. So having the right age, the right setting, and these anomalies with good size below copper bismuth and skarn mineralization lithocap is very important for us. And we need to test those targets. So and the holes will go approximately between 500 and 800 meters. We need to cut all this mineralization alteration that will show us and educate us what is exactly the source of all this mineralization.
Now, because these two targets are right beside each other, even overlap a little bit as figure three shows, could that mean that they're connected? Could it be the same sort of mineralization? Is this potentially just one big target or is it truly two different targets?
Yeah, now it's difficult to say 100% sure, but yeah, it could be two options. We can have different porphyry phases there. We have one big target also. Yeah. And also we have more anomalies, but we are showing these two anomalies because these are below the copper bismuth alteration and the litho cap. We're showing only these two areas that needs to be tested because of we need to consider for a discovery different evidences. We have the geochemistry, we have the epithermal structures, and we have the anomalies below the good geochemistry, the copper geochemistry in the area. So it could be two different porphyry phases or just one big target that needs to be tested.
Now, are there any assets, any other projects in Peru or in any of the surrounding countries that you could use as kind of a parallel to this potential target and how you drill it, what you could possibly find here?
Yes, sure. Talking about age, the Paleocene age, 56 million years, we have the same age as the giants like Toquepala, which all of these are mines, producing mines and big operations. We have Toquepala, Cuajone, Quellaveco, that is the new mine here in Peru. And we have also Cerro Verde that has the same Paleocene age. But we can go for the newest discoveries that are also closing in this area, in this Paleocene belt also. There is Chepispaya, there is one porphyry that is being explored by also Anglo at the moment that is close, I would say 20 kilometers to the northeast. But these are in early stage. But they are finding also porphyries there, the same age. And also we have another project that is being funded by a private fund that is called Calatos, also that is a breccia type. So we have a similar age of mineralization and similar geometry also. Because, for example, Los Calatos is also like a pipe, like a breccia. You can see the geometry of the anomalies that are similar than also than Curibaya. So we have we can have similar deposits in the right age and also similar in geometry.
So, Peter, let's bring you back in here talking about the drill program anticipated to begin Q2, approximately 5,000 meters. What moving pieces still need to fall into place for the company for this to begin in Q2?
Yeah, 5,000 meters will be a great objective for us to accomplish. You know, the priority going to be the silver, obviously, to test this Cambaya zone. So we want to put at least 3,500 meters in there to go test it. These are going to be short, shallow holes, so allows us to be a little bit more aggressive, a little bit many more holes than our first drill program that we did. And obviously, if subject to financing, capital markets, making sure we have robust enough treasury, we'd want to save a couple thousand meters to go test for this potential porphyry target. So what needs to make that happen? Yeah, we'll likely have to come back to market in the next few months to top up while we ramp things up and get it all drill ready.
Okay, so as much as we've talked about these copper porphyry targets, as you mentioned, first priority is going to be the silver exploration that you have already been doing on this project. Take us through, just remind everybody about the silver exploration, the balance between now silver and now porphyry copper targets.
Yeah, so you know when we originally got this land, we went there for the silver to find such amazing grade, bonanza grade, you know, rock samples up to 300,000 grams per ton silver, up to almost a kilo in gold, 78 plus samples over 1,000 grams per ton silver, over 2.5 grams per ton gold, emanating over a 20 square kilometer footprint. You know, the richness was and the grade was so high on and near surface. We followed it up. We did our robust channel sampling program. We're able to replicate those grades, you know, really high extreme grades, 12 kilos, 6 kilos over 1.5 meters. But then we had some longer intercepts of 20 meters of, you know, 300 grams per ton silver. So this silver was so there on surface. And all of our top intercepts in our first pass in our first drill program were all within 100, 150 meters of surface. And so when we got more data back saying, you know, something is really driving this precious metal system to surface. So that's when we looked at that Cambaya zone where there's less erosion, where that precious metals will be preserved. But also, you know, now putting it all together with this potential copper porphyry story, that might be the driver of this system. That's pushing that epithermal system up to surface. And if you look at all the giants to the northwest of us, that's something that's been eroded off of those properties over the last 57 million years. But we have that kind of preserved system. So super interesting geology for sure. And obviously the geologist's dream if we can have both.
Okay. Well, since the company is focused in Peru, we do need to touch on some of the political issues that I think we've all read about within Peru. Can you give us an update if that's impacting you? Anything else that you've heard regarding Peru and hopefully some settling down on the politics side?
For sure. Yeah. And I won't speak over Christian too much here because he's our guy in Lima. So sees what's actually happening on the ground. You know, we all know in the media that good news doesn't drive too many viewerships or clicks or sell many newspapers. So you're always going to have the front page if there's a little bit of unrest. Most of the unrest is occurring interior of Peru along the borders of Bolivia. We're no strangers to the volatility in Peru. Since I've been in the seat, this is my third president. Since Christian's been with our group and family, I think it's six or seven presidents. So unfortunately, with the deadlock of Congress and how the political structure is set up there, nothing gets done for good or for bad. And unfortunate for the people of Peru that, you know, not a lot of action is taken. Fortunate for us as a business because we kind of fly under that radar. We get our permits in expedited fashion, 4 or 5 months at a time. Great social contracts in place with our communities. We are operating as if everything is normal business, you know. And I'm not trying to make light of the protests, the unrest. It's real. But really, you know, for me as a president and CEO of the company, of a public company, I have to face the perception that there's some unrest there. But you know, every country and every jurisdiction around the world has their headwinds to deal with. Peru's always been the political kind, but you know, this is where you know the juice has to be worth the squeeze in Peru, and you have this such a mineral-rich country with so much underexplored territory, so many opportunities. You don't get this anywhere else in the world. So we're comfortable operating there. We've noticed zero negative effects from all the unrest as far as permitting and allowing us to get to work. So for us, the days carry on, and you know, we won't get comfortable with this president either. Who knows what happens in the next year? But as long as the permits are there for us to operate and the communities are on board, we're in great shape.
Okay. Christian, anything that you want to add here?
Yeah, to add that this is, well, this political is more a political, social, I would say, unrest, because politically it has their own agenda in Peru, but also in South America, because it's coming from Bolivia and Venezuela, also some, you know, the extremist people that is trying to capture, no, South America. But in the case of Peru, the riots started 40 days ago and now it's decreasing. That's the good part. And this is a typical situation that happens when someone like Castillo being supported by left extremists and now is turning more to the central. Yeah, these people, which is the minimum, I would say maybe 3% of the people, like, is a little bit more violent in the riots. They are trying to make some chaos, but it's decreasing, and that's very positive for Peru.
Okay. Now, Peter, I saw you at some of the recent conferences in Vancouver. I know it was a busy last week as there was conference after conference. And hey, at least the conferences were busier, a lot busier than last year. Last year was pretty slow, but there are a lot of moving pieces with COVID still then. But there's clearly more people on the show floors. Can you give us a little recap of some of your conversations you had? Recap from the conference and how it all ties into mostly the silver market, please.
Yeah, great showing, especially VRIC, which we were attending to have a big presence at over the last couple of days. So, you know, last year, 1,500, you know, tickets sold, attendees. This year, over 5,000, I think almost 6,000. So those numbers were very apparent. It was extremely busy over the weekend with foot traffic, with speakers, with incoming investors. And it reminded me of a couple of years ago when your phone, you know, was ringing off the hook, people wanting to find out more. When is your next financing? How do I take part? All the stuff that you want to hear and listen to, rather than what we've been dealing with over the last 12 months, which has been a pretty dark space. So it was so welcome to see fantastic traffic coming to the companies, and not to mention a lot of majors walking around making introductions as well. So it was clearly very busy time. The sentiment seemed excellent, cautiously optimistic that we're on the right track, but we have great metal prices right now. We just need the broad markets to cooperate a little bit. But I think the table is set perfectly for a great precious metals market here for the next 12 months. And I think silver, it brings a special crowd. People love that torquey nature to it. They love the way that it moves when gold prices moves. And, you know, we all know that silver outperforms all the other asset classes when we go on this run. So Great to see people like Ross Beattie at the conference and very confident, and Rick Rule obviously as well. This bull market has started, so take your picks and bet on management, bet on people, then bet on the asset. And so I think we're in a fantastic spot for a great silver play and also a couple of chances at some really big base metal plays as well.
Okay, just to wrap us up then real quick here, Peter, news flow. What can we expect as we move closer to that drill program?
Yeah, so we still have some news to come out of our Hurricane project as well, but all the focus for the next couple months for us is getting prepped for drilling. So we're going to be quite active on the road, telling the story, getting people excited for this next drill program because we weren't able to drill last year, and it's full steam ahead for us. So just watch out for us because we're gonna be out there telling the story a lot.
Okay, Peter, Christian, thank you for this update. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. In full disclosure, I am a shareholder of Tier 1 Silver. I'm going to be following up as more news hits the market, especially as we move into that drill program. Guys, thank you again for your time. We'll stay in touch on the back of some more news.
Thanks, Corey.
Thank you, Corey.